So. Brother, when you get ready to preach, if you'd put that on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thing. Yep.
Let's just stand right here. You too, Mama. Let's do what? Let's start with Jesus Loves Me, okay? Ready? Sing nice and loud. Okay, here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Lord loves me so. Little ones to give me love, they are weak, but He is strong. Thank Christ the Good job, guys. Yeah. And you never exactly know what they're going to do when you bring them up here. Amen. Whether they sing or don't sing or start picking their nose, you never know. So, amen. Well, amen. Good. Let's see if I can get this on. Oh, how many of you were here when we came by on deputation? Amen. A good number. Amen. Well, thank you for your support. Like Pastor said, it's been about 4 years the church has been supporting us. When we first came, our son in the middle was just a little baby at the time, like tiny. And then since we've had another one. So for those of you who don't know, that's my wife Melanie. And then Anna's the oldest daughter. Then we have Isaiah in the middle. Lydia is the baby, and then we're expecting another one this October. So then we'll have a fourth one. We're hoping it's a boy. So Isaiah has somebody to wrestle with, but well, Lydia's pretty tough anyway. But you know, however God leads that way, it'd be a blessing to us. Well, we've been down in Mexico just about 2 years, and we got about to Warsaw driving down from Rochester, and I realized I forgot a computer. So I don't have any pictures to show you tonight. So I'm sorry about that. There is a couple that show on the little frame by our display if you'd like to see some of the pictures. So I'm going to try to explain them as best I can, as short as I can. They say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and I had a lot of pictures. So we'll see how much I can cram it down. But we spent about the last 2 years working in Mexico, almost right in the middle of the country. If you picture Mexico, that kind of, I don't know, how you describe that shape, but almost right in the middle of it, we're in the state of Zacatecas, in the city of Zacatecas. So it's like being in New York, New York, it's Zacatecas. And when we got there, we got right into language study, mostly. I didn't know any Spanish. I mean, I took some in high school, but I remembered absolutely none of it. And then my wife did have some training already, not training, but just growing up, her family was from Guatemala. So they spoke it in the house when she was a little baby. So as our Spanish teacher said, it's all hidden in her mind, she just has to unlock it. So we're still waiting for that to happen. No, but she actually is keeping right up with me without taking any classes. So that was a big blessing. And when we got there, we met the pastor we've been working with. His name is Jonathan Bryan. If you read some of the letters, you've probably seen his picture or his name in there. They've been down in Mexico for about 12 years. And we met them a month before we left. The whole time during deputation, we had planned on starting in a different city that had a language school for missionaries. And then shortly, about 6 months before we left, we found out that the school had closed because there wasn't enough new missionaries coming to the field. So there wasn't enough to keep the school open. So another friend of ours we met on deputation, another missionary to Mexico, who was friends with Pastor Bryan, told us, call him. There's a language school in the town. It's not a Christian school, but it's a good school to learn language. So I got a hold of him a month before we were ready to leave. I visited him, found us a house, visited the school, saw, you know, if he and I were going to be able to work together to get to know each other a little bit. And then, praise the Lord, God provided through all that. It was a very short time to do all those things. And then we left for the field. And there's a lot of stories I can tell you. I'm going to try to skip through most of it. Because we could be here the whole time just talking about the stories. But God just opened the doors as we were going down. Crossing the border, we came with a cargo trailer filled with our stuff, a 6x12 packed to the brim. When I got to the border, I found out that I was supposed to have gotten a manifesto approved by the government in Mexico City detailing every item that was in the trailer. We had not done that. And it was full. And we go across the border, and of course there's like a 20-something percent tax they can charge on things. You're given like $75 per person of free stuff. And then on top of that, they're able to charge a tax. So the lady at the border, and Pastor Brian was kind enough to meet us at the border to help us. He's not knowing Spanish, not knowing the process. He took a bus up to help us get down. And he through him translating, of course, all this, he said we have to unload everything. And it took me a week, you know, just to get everything in there just right so it would fit. I mean, the wheels on that thing were, I mean, it was like this. It was full. And so we started unpacking and, you know, stacking it up as neat as we can. And then he said, no, make a mess. And I said, okay, that's easy for us to do. So we start spreading it around. And sure enough, his theory was that the lady wasn't going to want to deal with it because it was going to be a lot of work on her part, the border agent. So sure enough, about 15 minutes into unloading, she says, my shift's about over. I don't want to do this. Go ahead and just go. So we pack it all up and we go. We didn't have to pay anything. We didn't have to have any paperwork. And Pastor Bryce says, wow, that usually doesn't happen. That's different. I said, praise God. You know, people were praying for that. There's a second checkpoint 20 kilometers down the road. And here you're supposed to show the forms of what taxes you paid at the border. So they like to claim a few items on purpose. So they have paperwork to show the people at the second checkpoint. So he was very nervous. At that point, they could basically charge whatever they want to charge you because they figure you're not going to drive back to the border and go through that all over again. But when we got there, I don't even think they made us open the trailer. They just talked to us briefly at the window and waved us on through. And he says, wow, that usually doesn't happen. He couldn't believe these things were happening. And again, throughout when we first got there, we arrived at the house that day, they had turned off the electricity because I had rented it a month before when I went to visit. And I didn't even think about that. There was like a turn-on charge that was on the bill that didn't get paid, so they turned it off so I could pay the turn-on charge again. So we get there, there's no electricity, there's no gas, the water is just like a trickle coming out of a couple of the faucets, and we thought, oh, great, welcome to Mexico, this is day one. And my wife is still with me, praise the Lord. Come to find out, you know, and in Mexico we were renting this house that you're basically expected to take care of everything. It's not the landlord's job or responsibility. So we didn't, you know, have a lot of extra cash. There was a lot of money coming down and all the expenses with the visas and especially the gas driving all the way from here to there. So we weren't expecting to have to take care of things like this right away. So anyway, I called the realtor who helped us, you know, was the go-between. And he sent over a handyman who turned on our electricity for us. I don't know how he did that. He took the thing off the box and messed around in there and the electricity turned on. So I wasn't complaining about that. Fixed some pipes. Got up on the roof. We found out, in the roofs in Mexico, there's a big, you know, the size depends on what you buy, but a big tank, a tinaco they call it. And the water gets pumped up there 2 or 3 times a week by the government. And then you run throughout the week on just gravity fed through what's in that tank. So the lid was off. And there had been dead animals and stuff and debris just clogged the thing. So he got up there, cleaned all that out for us, fixed it all up nice. And then he did something else for us too, I can't remember. And then, what was that? Oh yeah, he did a lot of stuff for us. So we get ready to find out, you know, how much. Oh, no, the landlord was taking care of it. And that's another opportunity where Pastor Brian says, wow, that usually doesn't happen. And again, God was just providing for us. We spent time as our Spanish grew. Got involved in the church more. When we first got there, you know, we did some special music. My wife would play the flute, with trying to learn guitar some more, help with the singing, you know, things we could first start. A lot of door-to-door work, just going down the streets, knocking on doors. That's what we spend a lot of our time in the ministry doing. It's just getting out there in the streets and talking to people, inviting them to church, telling them about the Lord. And Through that time, our Spanish was growing. And as it got a little better, we started a teen ministry. They have about 15 teenagers. And when we first arrived, there was a national pastor who was doing that in the church, kind of an assistant. And when we first got there, he got sent out to start new churches. So as he got sent out, it left the teenagers with nothing. So we were able to kind of step into that role and work in that. And then about a year into it, Pastor Brian needed to take a furlough. It had been 6 years or so, actually maybe seven. And they were very hesitant to do it because last time they took a furlough, they lost over 60% of the church. The men they left it with, when they got back, one was going to a different church, one left church, and then there was just one guy left. And there was barely any people because of all that strife and division that took place. So he asked us if we would be willing to pastor the church while he was away. And I said yes, and they also had a children's home with four Mexican girls in it. So my wife really jumped into that role. So she had seven kids to take care of. So I agreed to it. And after he told me the story about how most of the church left last time he went. So I was like, oh, great. First experience in Mexico pastoring the church. The first day I get there, I was so nervous. I thought, I'm going to get there the first Sunday without Pastor Brian, and half the people just aren't going to show up because he's not here. But praise the Lord, the church actually grew some while he was away. And that was all God, because my Spanish is rough. We don't know what we're doing, and really just seeing the great things that God has done. And there has been so much. Our daughter got saved there. We were able to lead one of the girls in the children's home to the Lord as well. Before that, she was very hard and calloused and stealing and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And we were praying for her. And finally, the Lord kind of broke her heart, and we were able to lead her to the Lord. That was a big blessing. And just going out and seeing souls get saved. Right before we left, we've been renting a house as the church. And it's a smaller area than this for the sanctuary. It's usually packed full, about 50 people fit in there. We've had about 80 really crammed in there on special days. We had a family day, a family conference, and things like that. But praise the Lord, there's a new building going up. And of course, I had pictures to show you. But it's a good it's a good sized building. Right when we left, they were getting ready to pour the roof on the first story. So praise the Lord for that. When we get back, should be able to pray, and the Lord keeps providing the funds to get it done, that we'll be able to start meeting in there. And that would be a huge blessing. And in the meantime, though, what our future ministry is going to be for the next, we're guessing about 2 years is this next part, is going to be continuing to help the church. I do need some more Spanish study. Right now it takes me about 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours, just to put my message into Spanish, really. I have to write every single thing down. It takes a lot of time. And then I go over it with my teacher. That's a whole class, just going over that to make sure everything's right. So really want to spend some more time in language study. We just started continuing our classes through the internet. Now I had mine yesterday, so we're trying to keep that up so we don't lose a whole lot when we go back. And then to be able to help start new churches. We were witnessing in a town nearby called Taco Leche, milk taco. Sounds disgusting. Probably is if anyone ever made one. I don't know where they got the name from. But just got a church started there. And that's the goal, is to continue to do that. There's a number of towns that surround the city. And those are the towns that really have nothing in it yet. The church that Pastor Brian started is in Zacatecas. And there's a couple churches, national pastors, and another missionary on the other side of the city. It's a big town. It's the capital of the state. But now the goal is to start in these smaller towns. And that's part of the reason we came back, is to help increase our support to be able to rent buildings, buy property, buy chairs, hymnals, electronics, you know, whatever you need to get the church started. And now we're kind of transitioning from working under him to trying to get our own ministry started. It's kind of a transitional phase. We plan on still working in the church, helping the teens. There's a number of teens that have a heart to serve God. There's three that are going to be going to an institute. The young ladies, there's two young men who've been preaching. Praise the Lord. One of them has to wear a, what do you call it? Like a tube in his nose to be able to breathe. Like the brother back here. He's about 22 years old. And he has to carry an oxygen tank, but he has a heart to preach. And bless God, he gets up behind the pulpit and he takes the thing and he preaches as good as anybody I could hope for. And there's another young man, Ramon. And he's got a heart to serve God. He's kind of on the edge, deciding right now. We're praying for him. Am I going to go full-time for God? Or am I going to try this work, come to church when I can, preach when I'm, you know, try to help out kind of in the middle. So we're praying for him. And there's a lot of need like that, and would like to be a part of that as well as work on starting new churches. There's another missionary family who just got there when we left. And their goal is to work full-time in this city with the Bryans for the rest of their lives. So we're kind of just trying to help fill in the gap until they're ready to step in. And then we can branch out. So we figure that's going to take about the next 2 years to get that done. Hopefully start at least 2 churches in that time, help with the teen ministry, and help the ministry continue to grow with things like VBS. You know, things that normal churches do. Just more outreach into the community. And just basically knocking on doors and inviting people to church. So I'm sorry I didn't have the photos to show you of all that. Does anyone have questions real quick before we get into the message? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. There were how many other missionaries that there normally be in this
country? That was the problem. There wasn't enough. There wasn't any at the time. I think they went about a year with nobody coming and had no word of anyone. They need, I think they said 5 or 6 families to keep the school running. So we're able, it actually was a big blessing because the town we're in is a very experienced teacher. He used to have hundreds of students. And then when the violence kicked up in the country 6 years ago, a lot of the colleges who were sending kids down, just normal secular colleges, stopped because they didn't want to be liable if something happened. So he basically had, we had one-on-one tutoring from a very experienced man who's been doing it his whole life. He's an elderly fellow now. So that was actually a big blessing to have that, basically a tutor instead of sitting in a classroom. So that ended up being another blessing. Amen. Any other questions about Mexico, our ministry? Yes, sir.
I'm not going to pronounce the state name correctly. Michoacán. Looks like Michigan.
Okay.
You know the state?
I have seen it on the map. I've never been there.
Okay. Right.
I can't pronounce it either.
I know a missionary there. He's a veteran. And I was wondering if perchance, Dave Christensen is his name.
No, I haven't met him.
A variety of places. Mm-hmm. Obviously not your place.
Yes. Part of this next goal, too, is to meet more missionaries who are already there and national pastors to find out where the greatest need is. Because we came here basically to learn. And now we're looking forward as to, okay, where there is a big need so we can go there and help. Yes, ma'am?
What's the cost of living compared to here in America?
It's more than we thought. That's another thing we ran into. We went down. Our last survey trip was Anna was just born. So that was 5 years ago. And things had gone up since then, obviously. It's just like here. The only thing that's really cheaper, there's housing is cheaper. Rent a house is cheaper than here by a margin. And then buying fruits and vegetables in the markets and beans and stuff is cheaper than here. But there is a Walmart in the city. There's a Sam's Club. There's a Mexican chain called Soriana that's there. And you go in there to buy things, it's actually more than here. Especially when you're talking appliances, electronics, just stuff for your house, couches, all those things. We went a long time without a couch. We just were sitting on the floor and stuff because it was just so expensive for the things. And we just had a church who offered to help us buy an oven. So now we're going to have an oven when we go back. That'll be nice. I get to eat. Yeah, just things like that are a lot more expensive and the quality is less. We weren't expecting that. The government subsidizes a lot of the, you know, gas, natural gas, water, electric. So those are pretty reasonable. They're about what you would be paying here, I imagine. Gas, I think, is a little, not gas for your car. Gas for your car is a little more than here. Natural gas is a little cheaper. But those, every month, it's just higher. You know, it's the same as here. Everything just keeps going up. Nothing ever seems to get cheaper. Amen. So it's the same thing we're experiencing. We did a couple sources of support. We discontinued us. A couple were individuals who just couldn't afford it anymore. And another church pastor had passed. And they were having a lot of struggles. So we did lose a little bit of support as well. And we're trying to make that up too while we're here. Any other questions? Okay. Okay, well, amen. Let's get in the Bible then. A couple things just want to mention before we start the message. We do have prayer cards, new prayer cards, with the whole family. Of course, we got them made, and now we're having another baby, so it won't be the new family when we leave, but right now it's the whole family. I noticed you have our first one over there on the board, and then you had our middle one on the table. Now you'll have a new one, so you got to keep them all somewhere in the church, amen? You think you're supporting, what are these three different families in Mexico? Are they brothers, or what's going on? So thank you, and I do want to say thank you so much just for helping support our ministry. We have a lot of friend churches who just aren't able to financially support us, but we know they're praying for us, and that means a lot. Amen. And then there are churches that are financially supporting us and praying for us. Amen. And that's great. Amen. Now, if this church is just going to support us and not pray, I think I'd rather have a praying church over support and no prayer. Right. So make sure you keep praying. Amen? That's what the prayer cards are for. But then we run into churches now and then, and we have a handful that are kind of like this one, where they pray, they support, and then they do something extra. And we really appreciate that. One of the things you were able to do for us and help us was getting our daughter's schoolwork, our curriculum. I don't know if you remember that. Amen. Amen. The VBS helped us buy that, and that was a huge blessing. I don't know if people remember, but that goes a long way. Amen. And we really appreciate that. That's a big blessing to us. And, you know, we don't walk in the door. I know missionaries have the muchinary. You ever heard that before? Muchinaries. And you know, we don't come in expecting anything. And we try to keep that mentality. We're just trying here to be a blessing, to report in on all you've done for us already. Amen? And we really appreciate that when churches do something extra. And it's just a big encouragement. It's more than just getting that thing. It's the fact that knowing that, hey, they really care. It's sometimes it's easy to write a check if you know the church is doing pretty good financially. But when you look for something extra, that means you care more than just that. That's right. And that's what's the biggest blessing, just to know, hey, there's people back there. You're a little ways from Rochester, but you're still in New York, so I call it back home. Amen? Right. Close enough. That care, that are praying, they're thinking about us. And it's not just, oh, who are they? Yeah, I remember once, do we have a missionary in Mexico? That there's churches that remember us and pray for us. So please keep that up. Amen. Keep praying for us, even if just a little bit, once a week, a couple of seconds. Amen. Just pray for us. We'd sure appreciate that. Before I get to you, I do have a list out there. Now, if you would like to get our prayer letter by email, you can put your name on there, as long as it's neat, your email address. And more than that, though, it's helpful for when there's emergencies or things that we need prayer for urgently. Example, my mother passed while we were there, first got there. She passed, died from cancer. So, you know, we found out that morning we need to leave. So that's something I was able to send out a quick email. Please pray for our trip up to the border. Pray for these things. You get the prayer letter a month later. It's kind of, you know, the situation's best. Our daughter, we had to put her in the hospital for pneumonia. That's another thing. Please pray right now. You know, we need prayers. So if your name's on there, you'll get that. I'm not going to sell it or spam you stuff or joke of the day. None of that. Just important things that come up. So if you'd like to be a part of that, we'd appreciate it. Yes, love? Oh, yeah, we're praying for two things. First off is the support, which I mentioned. While we're here, we're heading back, I think like the 3rd of January, right after the holidays. Wife's due to end of October. We thought since we're here, we might as well enjoy Christmas with the family and use that time to try to raise some new support. Basically, we're meeting supporting churches up through the end of July. Then we have August through the end of the year to try to raise a little bit extra. And then we're heading back. So please pray. We're going back regardless. But pray that God would fill the need then so we can, you know, be more effective down there. And also, we're looking to go back in a different vehicle. Right now we have our Ford Explorer, which, anyone want to guess how many people we've had in that? For the church bus ministry, that's something we were in.
20.
Very close, 19.
No.
Seven passenger vehicle, we had 19 in it. That's the bus ministry in Mexico, amen. So that, you know, it's gone through a lot of abuse, but with the growing family, it does have a third row, but when you put it up, there's no space for anything. It goes, you know, right up against the glass. So we're looking to get 8 passenger or 12, if we can't find an 8, a full-size van, not a minivan, a full-size van that can handle the roads down there. It can pull the trailer, and then we can fit, you know, more people in it. But not so big that, you know, I just leave my credit card at the gas station and tell them to keep it because I'm going to be there. I was like, no, we don't want it massive. So please pray for that. It would be very bad to go down with the wrong vehicle and break down in spots where we're not supposed to be. It's still kind of a dangerous time. There is still violence in the city, especially outside the city on the roads and going back and forth to those towns where we want to start churches. We don't want to break down in the middle of the night there. Can't call AAA. It's a little different. So please pray for that, that God would lead us to the right one. Looking now, and we're just praying for, you know, God to plop the right one. This is it. And we can go down on that. So we'd appreciate those two things. If you'd remember the support in the van. This week, this month, when you're praying, please remember to pray for those things. Anything else? Any other questions? I'm sorry? Okay, we're good. Okay.
Yeah.
Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. What time do you normally finish? Don't say 7:45 when we're in trouble.
You know, we normally go to 7, but you know, you
can okay. 8 o'clock, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. We started at 7, didn't we?
Yes. So,
you had a busy day, haven't you, preacher? Oh, Mexico time. We're not getting out of here for a while. Don't say that. In Mexico, they have this hand signal. It's un rato, it's a minute, or a second, or a half hour. You never know what it means, but it's, you know, you drive up in the vehicle, knock on the door, and you see this out the window. You're like, they might be coming right out, and we might be here a while. And that's, everything happens after a while. When it happens, it happens. But anyway, let's go to Psalms 126. I'm not going to preach very long. I heard a preacher say, when the seat goes numb, the mind goes dumb. So I try to remember that. Amen. And I know it's Wednesday. Last time we were here, it was so hot. It was so hot. That's why I remember this church. I was preaching. I had the suit coat on. I asked Pastor if I could take it off. He says, fine, just leave your skivvies on or something like that. I don't remember what he said. And I'm preaching, it's dripping in my eyes and it's burning. I'm like, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, but not really, but it's nice that it's nice and cool here tonight. Psalms 126, this is kind of a chapter I've been going to a lot when we're visiting churches, mainly for verse number 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Because that's kind of what we have the opportunity to do right now, is to share some of the great things God's done for us and through us in Mexico. And, you know, they seem like little things, but when you're living there and you're in the moment, man, it's just big things. And anything God has done, it's due to Him. Because the verse says, the Lord hath done great things. Anything good, it comes from God. Amen. But there's more to the chapter. As we go on, it says in verse number 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And these are some famous verses here that I want to preach on tonight. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now let's pray before we get into the message. Lord, I do thank you again for the chance just to be in your house, to spend some time in fellowship. And Lord, right now, mainly to spend some time in your word. And I pray now that as you've put this message on my heart and I was working on it this afternoon, Father, I pray that it would be an encouragement to these people like it was to me. How you spoke to me, I'd be able to share that with them. And that, Lord, your people would be exhorted tonight and challenged. And we would leave here, Lord, ready to serve you. And we're ready to do the best we can for you. Just thank you again for being good to us, for providing for us, for protecting us, and for forgiving us. Amen. And it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now this year, these are. Does anyone here have these verses memorized? These are some famous verses. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, we see throughout Scripture, this is one of the references, and especially in Christ's ministry, that the world is compared to a field. And the people who go out are the sowers. And though there's a famous parable of the sower and the different types of soil that the seed lands on, and some of it's lost, some of it grows fruitful, some of it the birds come. Remember that parable?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on, John chapter 4 talks about... I'm going to misquote it now. There, say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. The old, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. That the world is a field, and as Christ said there, that it's white already to harvest. Now I was thinking as we were singing tonight, is one of songs that I like, 444, Bringing in the Sheaves. When you sing that one here?
Yeah.
Going forth with weeping, sowing for the master. It's taken right from these verses. Though the law sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And it goes on, bringing in the sheaves. It's one of the songs I really liked, especially when growing up in church. But this, we have this opportunity now to work in the field. What makes someone a missionary? When I think of missionary, my mind almost always goes to Judson or Taylor, you know, these men that went into unknown countries and spent their lives there and lost loved ones, suffered great loss, but then God was able to do great things with them. Or we think of, you know, you got to go to Mexico, you got to go somewhere. But a missionary is someone that is sent out with a mission.
Gotcha.
Or a co-mission. And we're all given that great commission, aren't we? Amen?
Yes.
Are all Christians given the Great Commission or not?
Yes,
if we can't, we're going to have to back up if we can't agree on this and do a different message. Then, we're all given that commission. What is the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. I hope I didn't mess anything up. And almost every gospel has that in there. That's what we're sent out to do. Every Christian is a missionary. Every Christian is a missionary. And this tells us a little bit about our mission. The missionary sower. I got 3 points here tonight. The first one is the brokenness of missions. The brokenness of missions. It says here in both verses, they that sow in what?
Tears.
He that goeth forth in what? In verse 6? Weepeth, barren precious seed. There's a brokenness that comes with mission work. There's some hard things that come when you decide, I'm going to serve God as a missionary. Not just in a foreign field, but even here. If you purpose in your heart, I'm going to be a witness for Christ. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to invite people to church. I'm going to give my testimony to the lost. There's a brokenness that comes with that. There's some hurt that's going to come with that. Go with me to another famous passage in Isaiah chapter 6. Hold your hand here in Psalms. We're going to come back. Isaiah chapter 6. These are another famous verse, especially for a missionary. But it starts here in Isaiah 6. Verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So what is Isaiah seeing here? Who is Isaiah seeing?
The Lord.
The Lord. Amen. Don't be scared. The Lord. He's answering, he's seeing the Lord. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. He's seeing some miraculous things here. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Look here, we see 3 things. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse number 8, skip down there with me. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Famous verses where God is putting out a call for a missionary, a servant. Who can we send? Who is going to go for us? And Isaiah answers the call. He says, Here am I, send me. And that should be the heart of every Christian. God might not send you to Africa, to Asia, to any place horrible you might think of that's hot or freezing cold. But every Christian needs to be able to say, Here am I, Lord, whatever you have for me, whether it's an Olean working in the streets, whether it's going to be going into Belfast to invite some people to church. Here am I, send me. I'll do it. You want me to teach a Sunday school class? Lord, here am I. Someone needs to clean the church? Lord, here am I. Someone needs to do some landscaping? Lord, here am I.
That's good.
Whatever God has a need for, you say, Here am I. Use me. But before that happened, in verse number 5, he said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. He had to be broken first. Now, this isn't a place where God had to say, you know, you're prideful, you're in sin, here I am going to, you know, I have to take you down. He simply saw who God was. He simply saw the glory of God and he realized his own place. It's natural, especially we'd like to kind of boost ourselves up in our eyes, right? Think a little bit more highly of ourselves than what we really are. It's easy for anyone to do. At work, I was just talking to my dad, and I'm not going to pick it on my dad. But everyone around him is the stupid people. The boss is stupid, the coworkers are stupid, and I'm sure they're at home telling their wives the same thing about him. And that's just the way it is, right? Yeah. And I'm sure you do it about the people you work with. Who at work, you say, oh, they're better than me, they're smarter than me, they should be in charge. They know, no, it's always, we can do it, I can do it. That's our nature. That's man's nature. That's the sinful nature in us. Pride. If you want to be a person like Isaiah or that missionary, first you've got to lower yourself down. Because God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. But it's more than that. It's more than just you. What else did he say there in verse number 5? Because I am a man of unclean lips. And what else? And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. There's a second area to this brokenness. First, you got to see it in yourself, who you really are. Then you got to look around you and see the real condition of the world around you. We don't just look at the house and the car and the job they have and the wife and the kids and, oh, it's so cute and they're all so beautiful. We need to look at the world spiritually. Yeah. Yeah. When you look at the world spiritually, it is broken. Yes. It is a mess. Amen. It is a disaster. That's why we need workers in the field. Amen. You know, we have an opportunity to do a lot of kind of good things for people. And we've been able, that's part of our ministry. We're able to help pay for some medicine, get some people to the hospital, and you know, your support helped physically save some people's lives. That's some of the things we're able to do in Mexico. But that's not why we're there. Amen? Red Cross can go down and help with disaster relief and all that. We're there to fix a spiritual condition. Amen. A spiritual brokenness. Yeah, sadly, a lot of Christians have no interest in being a missionary. As in here and now, here am I, send me, missionary. Because they don't see the spiritual level of the world. They're not looking on a spiritual plane. Young people, what is your mind on?
Yeah, that's right.
School's about over, right? Yes? No? You don't know. I just go until I go one day and the doors are locked. And I know I'm done. It's about over. If you're finishing, you know, think about college, career, job. And then once you get the job, oh, what lady, who am I, hope it's after you get a job, who am I going to marry, you know? Get a job first, amen?
Amen.
Focus on that. And then, oh, when are we going to have kids? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to buy our house? Once you get that, how am I going to pay for the house? How am I going to pay for the car? You know, you get all these things. And then, when do I get to retire? Where can I go on vacation? How do I? And sadly, so little of our focus is on the spiritual mission we've been given here. It's much bigger than all those things. We've been given all these things richly to enjoy. But life is bigger than those things. There's a spiritual level. There's a spiritual brokenness. And we see the example of Christ. We're not going to go there tonight for time. But when he saw the multitudes, over and over, the scripture tells us, and he had compassion on them.
Yeah, amen.
He had compassion on them.
Amen.
And then when I think there's a passage, he sees Jerusalem. And he weeps for Jerusalem.
Yes.
His city. His people. How many people can say, I've wept for lost people? Whether it's a loved one, it's a mother, it's a brother, it's a friend, I've wept. And even more than that, I have a heart for Ole, and I have a heart for Black Creek. I have a heart for Belfast. I have a heart for Houghton. It's more to it than where we're going to go to school, where we're going to live, what age we can retire, where can we go on vacation. There's more to it than that. Don't get caught up in these things. The brokenness of missions. But also go back with me to Psalms. The burden of missions. There's a burden that comes with it. When you want to do the work, it's work. It's compared to a field and labor in a field for a reason. It's compared to a race. It's compared to a fight. Because there's a burden that comes with it. First off is the burden to know what you're talking about. Amen? You can't be a witness unless you know what you're going to be talking about. That takes some memorizing some scripture. That takes preparing. That takes some work, some study. That's why we're supposed to study the scriptures. So we know what to say when we're going to talk to the lost. That takes some work. That's a burden. That's a step some Christians aren't willing to take.
Right.
Oh, I'll come to church, but study?
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh. Yep. Memorize? Ooh. That's not what I'm looking for in church. Because there's a burden that comes with it. There's a burden. We've been given that commission. Christ has come and gone. We're going to see him someday. He's going to come back. Amen. But right now, it's our turn to do the work. The door knocking, the walking. We know the work of the Spirit is present and the work of Christ is always present. But it's our job to actually get out there and do the actual work. That's a responsibility. When Christ left, he left the responsibility of witnessing unto disciples. And it's been passed down. Amen?
That's right.
They didn't have to pray. No, there's some crazy things out there. If you were ascended to a guy who prayed over the head of a Christian, then you're not really saved. That's craziness. But if you're saved tonight, you have that same commission. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a responsibility.
Yeah.
That's a burden. I was just talking to my wife, and she left, so I can tell on her.
Yeah.
Did she hear this?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I love you.
Yeah.
She said today, she's pregnant. And she's crossing into that, I can't move like normal anymore, because I'm pregnant. She goes to bend over, oh, I forgot I was pregnant. And she has to, and we talk about that, bearing children. You know that? We're bearing children. It's not a decision you just lightly make. Hey, I got to get up, I got to do the dishes, I got to clean the house, I'm going to walk the dog, while the pot roast in the oven, I'm going to have a baby, and then we're going to go. No, it's a commitment.
That's right.
It's 9-10 months, and then many years after that,
yeah,
for this child. Mm-hmm. What does the scripture tell us here? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. That's the scriptures. But it just reminded me of that. We treat this witness like, oh, real quick, I did it and it's done.
Yeah, come on.
That's right, brother. Yep.
No, this is a process. This is work. Hey. This is time. This is a burden.
Yeah.
It's lighter than the burden of sin. Amen?
Yeah.
But it's still a burden. It's still something we have to carry. It's still a responsibility. We have to memorize what we're supposed to do. We have to seek the lost. We have to be faithful to speak up and be bold and to tell. And it comes with attack. It comes with sorrow. It comes with some hurt. There's some verses in 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to read them. Stay there with me. I'm going to try to get there and read them real quick because I love them. They've been an encouragement to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It tells us here, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded that the light shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We've been given that light. And now they're preaching that light.
Amen.
And it says here in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. There is a burden, there's a hardship that comes with being this missionary.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't destroy you. It doesn't overcome you. Because our strength is in Jesus Christ. It's not all going to be easy, peaches and cream, prosperity. But we can make it through, amen?
Amen?
We can make it through. And let's close with this here, the blessing of missions. There's the brokenness, the burden, and the blessing. Verse number 6 of Psalms 126. He that goeth forth and weepeth, the brokenness, bearing precious seed, the burden, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's some rejoicing. Amen. And praise God for the rejoicing.
Amen.
And I like that word there, doubtless, come again. There's no doubt about it. If you go out and you're a faithful missionary, a faithful witness, a faithful testimony for Christ, doubtless you're going to come again with rejoicing. God is going to do something with that work. You never put time into the work of Jesus Christ that doesn't have results. Whether or not it's someone comes through the front door that you've spoken to, praise God when we get to see that. But every time we do something for the work of God, God takes notice. And his word does not come back void. And he has some work going on there. He's got a part in that. Oh, we don't have time to look at all this stuff. Amen. Let me just give you three blessings, the blessings that come from missions. The blessing of serving Christ. There's a satisfaction that comes when you pillow your head at night and you know, not because of me, but I did something for God today.
Amen.
Whether or not you spend an hour knocking on doors and no one got saved or not, you go to bed that night knowing, I did something for God today. How many times have you gone to sleep at night and you sit there and you don't get any peace? I didn't do anything today. I didn't accomplish that. I didn't finish that. I ate way too much of that. Ugh, what a day. But when you look back and you know, I did something for God today, that makes a worthwhile day. That's a blessing that comes from being a missionary. There's a blessing of the souls that are brought to Christ. Those are the sheaves that come on in. Amen? And sometimes you're going to see new people come through the door. Sometimes you're going to get saved. I was just kind of thinking in my head, we never kept a number count. But through the ministry we're involved in there, the church, the people that went out witnessing there, Pastor Brian and ourselves, during those last 2 years, we've probably seen about 200 people get saved. What a blessing to be involved in that. You know, people that wanted to pray, had a heart, and wanted to ask Jesus Christ to save them. We have no idea how many, you know, tracts went out, and people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were invited and given the gospel. That's a blessing to know that. Especially, what a blessing, Pastor, when someone you've talked to, someone you've been praying for, shows up in church.
Yeah, it sure is.
That is a blessing. Yes. It doesn't happen nearly as much as we hope. For every 10 that promise, one might actually show up.
That's right, brother.
What a blessing, though, when that one comes through.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. Even if they don't come. Oh, we had a lady get saved. She was sick. Bad sick. Pastor Brian went to see her. She's a friend, somehow related to someone who was in our church. He's witnessing. He's giving the gospel. She wants to accept Christ. She's laying in bed. She can't come to church. She says, use my house. Let's have church here. Oh, what a blessing. And then she gets saved, and then it's not, don't talk to me, you know, we'll talk later. You know, you get that a lot, and then nothing ever comes of it. She passed on 2 weeks later. She died. That's a whole other story. He had left in that time. So I'm there to preach the funeral. Whew, one of my first messages in Spanish was a funeral service, and I had never done that. Whew, God provided. Some souls raised their hand that day that they trusted Christ. Amen. But man, what a feeling though to know, hey, 2 weeks ago, if we had put that off, if that day the phone rang and he said, no, I'm a little tired today. I'm a little busy. I've got this and this to do. Where would that lady be today? Hey, it happens in every one of our lives. We don't always see the result of it, but God is working and God is looking to use you. And you've got to say yes when the time comes up, and you see that blessing. And then there's that blessing of eternity with God.
Yeah, amen.
And being able to see, not just here on earth, but seeing those souls in heaven. And maybe seeing the person who led you to Christ in heaven, amen? And seeing those loved ones in heaven. These are all blessings that come from doing the work of God. I want to ask you tonight, are you being a missionary? Are you being a missionary? Are you fulfilling that great commission?
Come on.
Where's your vision? Is it on the things of the world or the things of God?
Amen.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
So many of us look for the blessing of missions, but we're not willing to put in the brokenness and carry the burden of missions.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
You say, I've been saved 20 years. I've never seen anyone get saved. I've been saved 5 years. I've never seen anyone get saved. It's because we're just looking for the blessings of it. But someone's got to put in the tears. Someone's got to carry the burden before we see the blessings. Just look in your heart tonight. I'm going to have Pastor come and close the service any way he sees fit, but just think this week. Am I being a missionary? Am I being a missionary? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brother Seatman. Challenging message as well as informative about the ministry down there. God is good. Let's remember to be in prayer for the Seatmans. They need our prayers. They're counting on them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the goodness of grace that you've given to us. And now, dear Lord, for the challenge that we've heard, we pray that by the work of your Spirit in our hearts, you will conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's called us to salvation for sure, and the one who's called us to give the gospel. And we pray, dear Lord, that those to whom we share the gospel, that the word will work effectively in their hearts and lives. And we pray, dear Lord, that you'll just bring fruit to the honor and to the glory of Jesus Christ. Now we pray for the Seatmans as they go on to other churches. We pray you give them safety as they travel on the roads. And we pray, dear Lord, as they get into churches that support them, that there'll be a renewing of fellowship and friendship. And then, Lord, when they have opportunity to get into new churches, and we pray you'll open doors of opportunity for them to get into additional churches, and you will provide for them, Father, the support that's needed to serve in their field of calling there in Mexico. Bless now, Lord, each one who's come as they give in the love offering box to the missionary. I know you'll bless those who give, as we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Folks, remember to hit those boxes when you go off.
Oh, we got some Mexican candies over there, too, I bet.